Welcome back, everybody. Here at Lat B.
Again and again.
We've been blowing it up, having a great weekend of fights here. It's definitely been a trying times with our previous feed going down and that finally getting posted for you guys a little bit late, but better late than never. And now we're coming at you on different platforms via the YouTube and back on your iTunes. Remember to subscribe, follow us on Twitter. We have a brand new Instagram as well that you can definitely follow at Lesbo and the Bean.
So Facebook.
Facebook as well. There's
for all these things, lesboandthebean.com.
Always, always, always remember where you're getting it from, guys. Remember to subscribe. So with this weekend, not only did the UFC shine in Japan, but Bellator had a really great showing as well as LFA, RFA, and all of those other ABCs and all those good organizations. Actually, have the competition level has risen, and the UFC fighters in shows like Bellator, like this specific weekend, are not necessarily doing as well as a lot of people thought they were gonna initially, and that gives more credit to the Bellator people right now. Did you end up catching any of these other fights, or did you just watch the UFC, which we'll get to our breakdown,
our post-show breakdown? I didn't get to watch the UFC as good as I would have liked.
Oh, that sucks.
It was a working weekend.
It's life.
It was. It was life.
Yeah, it sucks. You catch it when you can. Turn a TV on
and
here or there
so
when you get the option.
And I was so excited because I'm off this Saturday at 6 p.m.
When you're going to watch what?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. For some reason, I thought this weekend was
216.
Yeah.
Oh no!
And
you
so
got to reschedule.
I need the next schedule to come out so I can figure out who to trade with.
Yep. Exactly. That's exactly it. It's gonna end up being. It's a good card. They got a lot of.
I'm excited about it. I actually looked at it and made my first picks today. Kind of. Had my already like questionable people I'm on the fence about, so I'm like, ooh, I can't wait to hear what you have to say about that fight, because that could easily sway me, because I'm not, or questions I have about certain fights where the answers could sway me. So I don't know if we should go into it now. Ooh,
I think we can definitely hold off on there. We got a, I think just some post-fight stuff we need to get through. Again, you didn't get our Japan breakdown, but we'll still go over our fights and how we did. Well, they do have it now, so if you wanted to listen to that, but you're always listening to the late break in here. Let's ride the bean. So, with the Bellator, Larkin got knocked out by Paul Daly, UFC fighter that's arguably top 15. And Benson Henderson also lost another decision. He's now 3-1. Coming from the UFC, being a former title contender and champion. Benson Henderson's on his way out. I think he's going into the military, the army or something like that, after maybe one more fight. And Paul Daly really looked great in that fight. Well, not that good. Larkins was picking him apart a bit, but that power came through. Aaron Pico, though, was a star of the night with that knockout. Roy Nelson also.
That's less dog going crazy for all
that
these underdogs and upsets.
That's true. There was a great fight with Big Country Nelson.
If people want the Bean to start doing his underdog pick for Bellator, tweet at us.
Ooh.
And maybe,
those are
maybe
tough.
You could just do.
Those are so much tougher because that's like
the main on those.
Yeah, yeah. That'll be people that
or
I can
you
give
can
you real.
Follow at Zoltan on Twitter, and that happens anyway.
Yeah, Zoltanite.
Zoltanite, sorry.
Yep.
Who the hell is Zoltan?
That's also another screen name you'll eventually find me at.
High Birds Fighting.
Exactly. You've seen me around there. So, with Bellator, though, I love every promotional aspect they're going through. Pico getting that finish, he just came back off of his one of the biggest upsets, supposed upsets of the year, but it's MMA. Pico looked really good. Threw a devastating left hook that killed that poor kid. That kid was asleep. Roy Nelson had a meh showing against a young up-and-coming heavyweight that I would want to see in the UFC, and that's why I watch Bellator. Because that guy that Roy Nelson just won a decision against, that's a heavyweight that in 3 years, 2 years, a year, is going to be UFC caliber with the movement he had. He looked like a light heavyweight out there. Bouncing on his feet, I think his name was Ayala. Mexican guy, I mean, throwing beautiful leg kicks. I think he could have finished Roy Nelson at one point in time with the leg kicks. But did you happen to catch anything outside of the UFC this weekend? There was a lot going on before we get into that Japan show.
No, I feel like I saw Gina Carano in some movie, though. I'm trying to remember what it was. Maybe some...
Deadpool?
Maybe.
Yeah, she was... Probably. She was the lady in Deadpool.
I heard somebody else talk about her, and I thought it was an awesome assessment to make about it, is that she looks good on camera taking a punch because she's actually taken a punch. So she knows how your body would react physics. To getting hit in what spot and how important that is in the slow motion of all the action movies right now. Maybe it was Captain America. Was she in that too?
Not sure about that.
I know she's one of the characters in all those.
Yeah, she could be because it's in that universe, is it not?
Yeah. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong.
I would agree. I don't know enough about it. My geek fandom doesn't go that
Anyways,
far.
MMA's enough. Fight.
MMA fills up so much in this brain that works a little other space, and then I got to poop and eat at some point in time. So back to. Everyone does it. We had a show out in Japan. We talked about it somewhat here on the show with our last breakdown, and what I thought that I didn't weigh in enough was the judges in Japan. We don't have USADA and people traveling over and fighting at 9 a.m. In another country does affect their performances.
Did we weigh in on it at all?
We touched on it barely, but I don't think that I allowed it to really sway my fight logic, because when I was thinking of the fight still, I was just like, they're all professionals. They're all going to be fine. And no, they're not professionals. Guess what? Hirota missed by 5 pounds and still wasn't able to fight because he was so physically drained. Charlie Rosas ended up just going to Japan and to hang out, apparently, because Hirota doesn't know how to cut weight. 5 pounds and you almost faint on the scale? What went wrong? Is he off the juice? Like, what's the, what, how did that happen? And
I,
what would your logic be?
I think guys are trying to go, looking, when I was making my picks for UFC 216, there is one fight specifically that a fighter's fighting a whole weight class lower, and I don't trust that. I know most people think, well, that's going to be a bigger fighter. That's going to be dangerous for the smaller fighter, but I just, now seeing what I see without IV bags being allowed, weight cutting is a different thing than it used to be.
Good point.
So these older dudes, and I just think the older your body gets, it becomes harder and harder to reach.
Every old wrestler says it, like, that cut gets harder when you hit your 30s. And talking about that weight cut, those 10 pounds don't fall off like they used to. They don't come on like they used to as well, which is where they get in trouble, because it's hard on both sides, and they don't get the water they need in their system, and they're... What some people believe protects your brain in there is having a little bit of extra fluid. And guess what? When you dehydrate yourself, guess what you don't have?
Agree.
Fluid in the brain to help prevent some of that concussive force.
Or 75% water or something. And that's how people get rid of, to get in the, and you got to think your brain, you don't want it in there in an empty cavity just banging around.
Yep.
That's knockout city.
Yeah, that's not good.
I would make a song set to Paradise City by Guns N' Roses. Knockout City.
Going down to the Knockout City with the ladies. And the ladies all pretty.
So you're feeling it. Whatever, somebody could write some lyrics out there.
So that was before we even got into the fights. We started off the fight in a split between you and I had Lim, and you ended up picking Abe. I think I was calling him Abe. And that was a 3-round decision. That was a squeaked out decision. That was a Japanese guy versus Korean. I think the judges were also a little bit on that. But Lim didn't do enough to decisively win that fight. And I think the last knockdown in the last, like, 20 seconds of that fight gave Abe that fight.
It's hometown. I think a lot of these fights are guys, especially on the local scene or on one fight contracts, that they could fight at this level on their one fight contract. They want their guy to win, because then they can turn around and sell him on the local circuit, run through Japan, and make a bazillion dollars off of them. We know corruption's in judging.
Yep.
I don't know if there is a safe place. It's either corruption in some places, and in other places it's the lack of knowledge on the sport. So you have like New York.
Mm-hmm.
But we always say local. We always say local. We always say local.
Yep.
Yeah, we need to write a list of our top things that we local.
Our rules.
Yeah, we always go through.
Our Ten Commandments.
Yeah, kind of. And I think elevation is something we always have to look at.
Right. And fight times. Because if you fight at 9 a.m. in the morning, these fight cards started in Japan at 5 a.m. Or 9 a.m. on a Saturday. Even if the jet lag doesn't get you, that nobody wakes up. Not most people. Most people do not wake up to get into a fist
fight.
Or
when they fight in Europe, a lot of the times they fight at weird times. That's wearing. How long they've been in the country.
Right.
This list will get longer.
Oh, I think
we're
going
to print it out. So by the time we are on YouTube, it'll be something that's here that we'll be like, when we're on the fence about somebody that neither of us can figure it out, we'll be like, I don't know, let's go through our top five reasons of why to stay away or sway toward a fighter.
Right. Well, as we figure that out, we'll go on to the next unanimous decision for Azani versus Jimmy the Jedi. So this was, in my eyes, a split decision. People gave it a full-on decision to the animal. He is a Japanese fighter coming in against a New Zealander. Gassed had a lot to do with it. Jimmy really gassed badly. As I still think the animal doesn't have far to go in the UFC. He had a lot of pressure, but it was a very low output fight. It was a gritty fight, and it's going to be a lot of more decisions for, I think, both of these fighters. Jimmy also just looked like he was a step behind most of that fight. Did you see anything you liked in there that you...
I didn't even witness this fight, and honestly, okay. I didn't go back and look at it.
Because you didn't miss too much from it. Maybe for the next fight that's around.
When I can't see an entire card, which is rare, if Twitter goes aflame, then I know where it's like, this many people in your feed are reposting about this. I'm like, oh, I have to rewatch that fight.
Right, because something went on. So... moving on to the next fight, we had a split decision with Shuri Kondo versus Changmi Jiang. And I went with Jiang. You went with Kondo. A great pick by you. You ended up switching it. This was a late-breaking switch on the last show. And
I feel like, did I switch because she was the local girl? And I said that if it's going to go down and I'm this on the fence about it.
She was 28 to 20 years old, and you thought that Jiang was also just a little young for it. And what happened in that fight was a 28-year-old professional fighter came in, even though she had wrestling credentials and black belts and other traditions and stuff, that she was going to just be the bigger fighter in there. And that's exactly what happened. She ended up winning a split decision over Jiang. And this was two people... throwing the 1-2. Both women were throwing 1-2s. Jab straight.
She was
a
cheap.
A kick here and there. She was cheap and throwing better leg kicks. She could have finished,
no,
I thought,
I
Jiang
mean
with
cheap
leg kicks as well.
The DraftKings. I didn't mean cheap as a woman.
She was only 100 cheaper than Jiang. This was like a coin flip.
Yeah,
of a
but
fight.
How much in that 100
eight,
cheaper?
8,000 to 8,100.
Yeah,
8-1.
It was still one of those people that made you somebody else affordable.
But with Kondo, where she really paid off in the DK is that she was a 93-pointer. And she ended up attributing to some very beneficial cards.
She was
on
a card
night.
Changer.
She changed the cards. All the people that won the tournament over the weekend on DraftKings had Kondo in there. And that's because she was cheap enough to give you other people and scored so well. Great play by you. I took your advice on DK for her. Jiang, you screwed me.
And
God damn it.
And you got that first place. You got that first place.
Thank you. We were going to get there. But yeah, Kondo was definitely a pivotal point on that card in order to get that first place. Moving on to another split decision. And I think that all four of these fights previous that we've talked about could have been a split decision, honestly. We had Nakamura over Alex Morono. Ended up going with Nakamura submission in the third round. thought Morono was going to gas, and he did. But Morono is a guy who is very unassuming, has good strikes, good power, hurts people. Nakamura has a tendency to make every fight look like a gritty, gritty dogfight for this. So Morono's beat other caliber people. I really like him. I'm going to keep an eye out on him for sure. Nakamura, he's going to be winning other split decision type fights. I don't know if he's going to make a run, but I really liked his physique. I thought he looked really, really good and was moving really well. His output is just so incredibly low that it's going to be a problem when you get the guys with better cardio and can keep a higher output. They're just going to walk right through Nakamura. What do you think about that one?
Meh.
Exactly. Moving on to the next fight, we had Juicy A Formiga over Yuka Sasaki. Sasaki was the underdog here.
This is kind of rushed this time, you guys, because we've done it like four times.
This, we have been having issues.
So with the technical equipment.
We recorded this at least two times, at least, if not three or four. And I think we're on like the five, six time now.
But no more feed issues, no more equipment failure issues.
Mm-hmm. I feel like our audio is finally getting good when I'm listening to the shows where hopefully that the audience can notice that, hey, we're trying it here at the studio. It's been renovation and work and it ain't cheap.
I was never in the AV department in high school.
Yeah, right?
I didn't learn how to work any of this stuff.
So, thanks for staying along for the ride. Moving on to the Formiga versus Sasaki fight. It ended up being outmatched due to Formiga's just former contendership and tons of experience against Sasaki's striking that was so on point. I loved Sasaki's knees and kicks to the body on Formiga. They were really hurting him, and that forced Formiga to shoot because Formiga was going to try to strike. But I really like Yulka. I am going to put Sasaki in many other fights against other people because against people with not as good as a ground game as Formiga, because Formiga is one of the better back takers, and really, he showed you how to transition five different rear naked chokes in that fight. Go look back at it. Formiga didn't stop hitting it because Sasaki did adjust and defend against some chokes, but there was just so many coming at him, it overloaded him, and they finally sunk in. But valiant effort. They're both not hurt after that fight, so they can both fight again recently. I really like Sasaki. I like where he's going. Formiga stays where he's at. I think the person that showed off the most in this fight was Sasaki. I think that he's a ball of potential beating okay guys, and he's only going to get better.
How old is Sasaki?
I think like 22, 23.
Oh, yeah. He looked so good for that. And Formiga is a guy that...
A veteran.
He's a veteran, and he's also not a veteran. He's a veteran with still fights left in him.
Yep.
So he's not like one of these over-the-hill veterans that they usually give to an up-and-coming star like Sasaki should be.
Yep.
I agree with you.
And Sasaki's going to take leaps and bounds after this loss and be like, okay, that's what it takes me on the ground to be the best. Now I got to be that better. It's going to just change his train of thought. Really fun. That was a fun one for me. Formiga also pivotal role on that DK card. Moving on to the next fight, we had a unanimous decision between Tarento Ishihara versus Rolando D or Dai. We went by Dai. It's pronounced D. He's Filipino. D's supposedly coming off a lineage of that boxing. His dad was a pro boxer. He mainly ended up boxing the whole time, throwing some kicks. Most advantageous kicks Dai threw were dick kicks because one of the rare times... Ooh, yeah. We've seen nobody
the most
ever
dick kicks of the night, but we'll move on to that.
There was points taken, though, and it's rare that points are actually taken for these amount of fouls. There was also a couple live pokes on either side of this fight. Like, this was as dirty as a fight as it could have got. But D has also came out since and went on Instagram and talked about how Ishihara was playing it up and he didn't really hit him in the groin. You show me those replays, those were three dick kicks, if not five. I saw more like five, and he only called three of them because they were direct. You could hear the cup in the back rows. People were like, oh.
Yeah, I didn't like that at all.
No joke
at all. When I was catching this fight, I thought they were just one dick kick, and I thought Ishihara was playing it up. I was like, dang, how long are they going to let him stay on the ground?
Oh, you caught in between
every time I walked by a television, I was just like, this guy is still on the ground. I didn't know it was three separate kicks. Yeah, I think one, oopsie doopsie. Second one, donezo, point.
Point. There's no more explanations
of things. I think, you poke someone in the eye, oopsie doopsie. Second one, point. It doesn't even matter if it's on mistake. When you start taking the points, you're going to start seeing techniques change.
Yes,
and
exactly.
I think that to happen. It's the same. There was another fight in this that we'll get to when we get to, but somebody was just very patient. It might have been last week, the week before. We've had so many fights lately.
Oh, yeah.
But somebody waited. They went to go knee someone in the head, but all their hands were down. They stopped. They held them down. I felt like it was this night.
I think it was a two-lane fight on the co-main event.
And they just waited, patiently waited, hands came up. So I think that technique has to change, but it's not going to change if you just get warned. Because also with the warning, you're allowing me as the person who... I inflicted damage on you, but guess what I get to do? Take a breath. I get to take a full breath. I don't have any injury. I'm not trying to blink out my eye. I'm not trying to shake my balls out of my,
body.
inside of my body. I just get to sit there and breathe. And if I'm lucky, I get to sit there and listen to my coaches tell me other shit, depending on where they send me to in the corner, where the other guy inflicted the damage. So I think it's all bullshit. They need to stop taking them points. Come on.
So, with that fight, though, I feel like Ishihara was being exploited with his, we even talked about it, really looping punches, and a good boxer like Dime ended up exploiting that and landing a lot of punches. But Dai got hit with one of the slowest head kicks you'll ever see in your life. Go back and watch. He throws a really lazy kick, and Ishihara has enough time to step back, step forward, and land a beautiful straight left, which knocked down Dai in the first round. I don't think Dai has too much further to go. He has all the physical attributes to be a UFC fighter, but with his experience, the flow's not there for him. He just wants to essentially box in there, and on the ground, he can defend himself, but he doesn't use it offensively, and I think that's what's going to limit that type of fighter.
I agree with you all day. And, a thing for him, you were talking about Bellator earlier, he is a perfect Bellator fighter.
Perfect.
He's still young enough to have a career, and he's flashy. He's a great personality. I think he would excel in an arena more like Bellator. And it's not because I think they have lesser fighters these days. I really just think it's his personality will shine there, and the lack of knowledge that they may have on his style going into fights will be a whole different deal. Ishihara, Bellator is your jam.
Dai. You're talking about Ishihara. I think Ishihara still got fights in the UFC.
No, I think he's a great fighter.
I
think he's still young, which the UFC, people don't. You were talking about the track record earlier.
Right.
He's still young enough to have a very ample career in Bellator, be one of the great guys, but I think his personality would excel more in Bellator. I think he's a great personality, but not for the UFC. I don't think he's somebody I would bet on in the next fight.
Yeah, I agree that that's definitely somebody that you have to keep a stern eye on. He's not going to be a dark horse like everyone expected him to be because he knocked out a couple people that weren't UFC caliber. Moving on to the next
one. I thought he looked sloppy.
Yep, you could really see.
I was listening when you said wide looping punches. I just was like, oh, he's talking about
Ishihara. Yep. And we talked about it previously on the show. You know what you're getting, the type of striker you're getting when you see him. So moving on to the next fight, we had a knockout in Gokhan Saki versus Luis Henrique Frankenstein da Silva. I told you, I was saying nonstop, this Sasaki, da Silva's getting brought in to be a loss. He's going to want to stand with him. Evil Twin was all over da Silva saying that clinch was going to play a role.
What the worst mistake of his life.
Right? That's why he's evil, because he doesn't understand fight physics. But with the win that Sasaki had, I ain't putting any money on Sasaki at all against anybody else in this division. And I thought I told you guys last week as well that, or on the last cast, that Sasaki isn't going to go too much farther than De Silva. De Silva's pretty bottom of the barrel in that division. But that division at 205 is very lacking. And the gas tank for Sasaki was so bad. He could barely talk on the mic after a round. And he threw everything into his punches. He got hit a lot, though, for the amount that they were in the ring. The shots that Sasaki defended were against De Silva's, who are trash shots, which were bend at the waist, then put you into the cage and try to pull your legs out. He even got a double leg at one point in time, Sasaki did,
Silva would not be in the UFC if he wasn't at that weight class.
Yeah, I'd agree.
I don't want to ever call a fighter garbage, but I just don't think he's UFC caliber, and I wouldn't even say he's Bellator caliber at this point.
I think he can win a lot of fights because he's tough as nails.
I just think because there's not enough fighters at that weight class. So I'm just not into De Silva, but I agree with every single thing you're saying. Sasaki, he's going to be somebody that he's going to be on some people's list of hype train.
Yep.
Not on ours.
Not on ours. Sasaki not is a win. That dude could not fucking walk. I agree with you
all day on that.
Could not walk after that fight. So definitely pay attention to his career as it goes on, because he might get another setup fight. As soon as he doesn't, money's coming in the other way. Moving on to another as almost as fixed as a fight as you could get. I was all over Kim over Takanori Gomi. This was TKO round one, ground and pound, even though I think it was a one shot. It was an early stop, but it's Takanori Gomi. You know what was going to happen. It was just going to be a couple more punches till he eventually went out. So early or not, that dude doesn't need to be fighting anymore. I'm not mad at that ref for an early stop. We knew what was going to happen. Everybody came in on Kim. He was definitely a high scorer for us. There's not much to say because Gomi was such a shot fighter that you didn't really see much from Kim. So I'm not really confident in his skills against another elite striker. Gomi isn't.
Agree.
So it's something also be
two
cautious.
Two people to never put on a card again.
Yeah. De Silva and Kim. Yep.
Yeah, I think.
But what somebody said on Twitter over Gomi, the unfortunate thing if he gets out of the UFC, it's like, there goes the best fade in the last 2 years. There goes the best guy that you can always bet against. Like, that's easy money. You fucking know.
Yeah. Gomi's very in. True. Very in. True.
You know you're going to be in money. So that does suck a little bit. But his health is more important than min money. So get out of there, Gomi. Please don't sign him. If you go to an organization, just be a manager. Do not fight anymore, Takanori Gomi. You don't need
TBI.
It. Yep. You don't need more of it.
That's what I said. Any more TBI. Save your brain.
Moving on.
That's
going to
be our first Lesbo in the Bean shirt. We love your brain.
Oh. With like us massaging a brain with our like hands
holding
coming in.
Holding it or, in hands or just in a big vat of gelatin liquid, your brain. Like, we love it so much. We just want it to be a protected little...
In a helmet.
Yeah. Something safe. Maybe just a raw brain right in a helmet.
I
we
like it.
We love your brain.
I like it. This is your brain. This is your brain on MMA. So, moving on to the fight of the night. This one, it ended up being a 3-round decision, and it was a good one. All over Gedalia. I was all over Gedalia saying she's a number 2 in the division other than JJ. We knew that Gedalia gasses, thought Andrade was going to gas a little bit more. Gedalia in that first round, striking was so on point. It was crisp. She was jumping in and out of the pocket. She was landing beautiful elbows that ended up cutting Andrade in the first round, right down the middle of her forehead, which by the middle of the end of the first round, Andrade was on top with a couple really good takedowns and dripping blood into Gedalia's face. It was brutal. You could see it. You could see when Andrade, all of a sudden, with her head, she realized, oh, I'm bleeding. And she just leaned her nose, and it was dripping right in her nose and mouth, and it was gnarly.
Brutal. Gruesome.
That's what you do when you want to win a fight. You use whatever you can. If it's your own blood, you use it. Andrade looked like a world beater. She was a John Lineker in there. I think that Andrade coming straight from Jill, straight into Japan, EPO, the I just feel like EPO off the all my sirens in my head are like, she's on EPO. Gorgeous legs, big back. I mean, she was John Lineker without the mohawk.
I just disagree on this one.
I
disagree. She went 5 rounds with JJ in her last fight, pressing also forward EPO. The entire whole time.
Yeah, that was, yeah.
She's the only person not popping. She's the only person not popping for it after a fight.
Supposedly, Gedalia didn't get tested one time before her last fight with JJ as well. But this is Gedalia. Yeah, I was just actually learning about this today and was like, interesting.
Well, she didn't win that fight.
Her gas tank was...
And Gedalia's body is equally as impressive as
Agreed, that's what I was going to say.
Andrade is young. She planned for a 5-round fight with JJ.
Uh-huh.
She had to go 3 rounds in this. She just mauled through her. I was so impressed with Jessica in this fight. I thought this was by far her best performance in the ring.
By far.
Whatever her camp's doing's right, she is headed in the right direction in every form that I can see for being a UFC fighter. I can see her doing it at 125. She's equally as scary there. Who knows? Who knows what the years hold? Maybe 135 as well. She's so young. And she looks this good. And Claudia Gedalia is one of my favorite women UFC fighters.
Still!
I think she's one of the most talented UFC fighters. I do think she was gassed. And I think you always say, you know, you take brutal shots and how much quickly you're
gassing.
Get gassed.
Oh, yeah. Absorbing those kind of shots. But Gedalia was putting it on, which it makes me love Andrade even more, was... Those elbows that were landing, a lot of other women would have stopped. And Andrade just took them and threw back her body to head combinations. Everything reminded me of John Lineker, which isn't a bad thing. He's used his size or his lack of size to his benefit. And she has that body type as well. She is just burly, stocky all over.
They both have beautiful form in their punches. Both women.
Different forms for sure.
Very beautiful. It was an amazing fight.
It was a great fight.
Right
fight
now,
of the night.
You got to slide it into the top 10 women fights of all time.
It's up there. It was up there. Yeah, I could see it. Maybe not top 10 because there's been quite a bit of fights out there, but it's in honorable mention. It's in the women of the year, fights of the year for women this year. That's up in the women's division for, like, fight of the year. So far, what else would be up there?
This year, I'm just trying to think of, in general, what would be top 10 better women fights. Like, more exciting. I really love when Misha choked out Holly. That is one of my most emotional...
Yeah, right, endearing situations. Things.
There's been a lot of Ronda fights, but...
JJ and...
JJ Gedalia.
Yeah, I was going to say one and two.
JJ
Yep. A lot of JJ fights. I'm like, God damn, those are all really good fights. Nunes, Shevchenko, first one. That one was good. Second one was kind of bullshit.
Yeah. Really good, great fight.
There's a bunch more. Katsingano, Misha Tate, one of the greatest fights of all time. Go back. If
yes,
you haven't
I've seen
that.
It. That's a good fight.
Oh my God. That's a fucking amazing fight. The only reason I don't want to put Ron in there is because they were so one-sided. I like a good fight, meaning both fighters had a shot in there at points and times of the fight. And with a lot of with Ronda fights, it's been one-sided both ways. It was never just a brutal back and forth with Ronda. She was one and done, or I'm out of here in 2 seconds.
Top 25.
I could see that. I'd be more comfortable myself.
But so far this year, I'm trying to think what else this year. It might be the number one this year.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, agreed. Great fight.
Great fight, ladies.
Great fight, ladies. Moving on to the main event. We ended up going with Yushin Okami for our Leslie Dog under pick of the week.
Leslie Smith underdog pick.
Yushin Okami failed as horribly as he could, and my prediction of this exact specific situation was 100% wrong. I listened back to what we were saying, and I said, oh, Yushin Okami, he's good enough. He's not going to get Bob Flu choked. He's good enough of a grappler. Wrong.
Bullshit.
Wrong. So Yushin Okami came straight into the fight and dropped for guard. St. Preux sprawled on him, got top position, and got over, decided control, then Yushin grabbed over the head, which in Wrestling 101, if that head doesn't do you any good, you let go of it, and you'll get in trouble in a lot of wrestling camps if you reach behind the head when you're on the bottom for any reason, because nothing good will come of it. It gives you a false sense of hope. Makes you think that you can turn their heads down in for a guillotine. You don't
have that kind of power with your arm and their whole body. Against their whole
back. Exactly, against their core. It gives you a false sense of strength, and then it's a handle for them. Four chokes like this, where St. Prue's done it three times over, and I just cannot... People keep seeing, I don't know how people keep doing that and they understand that this guy knows grab that arm and how people aren't training for that. It was a 2-week fight, short notice. Shogun Hua was supposed to fight this fight, but what did you expect? It was the local guy that they needed on short notice.
Here's what I learned from it.
Yes.
Here at Lesbo and the Bean, we ride or die for a few fighters. We love Valentina Shevchenko. We love Jorge Masvidal. But we also hate on a few fighters. And one of those fighters is OSP. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like we were blinded by our OSP hate that we just let... It didn't matter who it was. It really didn't matter. So I think going forward, I'm going to try to take out that bias out of my prediction in a fight. That being said, I still won't ever put money on OSP. Not a bad call. Won't ever... Do, unless it's some, like, they're just going to throw him in to fill a card because he still has a big enough name and they can get him for cheap enough. I don't know why. Yeah. If it's against some guy I've never heard of, all right, OSP, they're just filling a card, putting him as the main event because it's OSP against some guy that hasn't fought in so fucking
long. Another Shogun who maybe you'll get him in there against Rich Franklin or Chuck Liddell or... Randy Couture.
Yeah, I don't even care where either of them go from here. I think the fight of the night was Gedalia Andrade.
Agreed. And Andrade talked a bit about it on DK that Andrade was going to be the value play there because it could be a decision with higher output. And Andrade was who came through to get that 660 points on DraftKings Jukebox
champion. And sorry to let the air out of your bag. So, yeah, go with it. That number one.
Out of like 45,000 people or whatever it was, ended up tying though because the odds were so askew on DraftKings that there was only a certain variety. So I tied with like 14 people for first and then it went from that point on. So it was definitely...
It was a profitable night. We're so friggin' sorry that we didn't get it out to you, but it shouldn't happen again. All our feeds are cleaned up, ready to roll.
Right. So, any other MMA quick blurbs you want to get in? I know that Jessica Eyde, Paige VanZant fight ended up falling through. How you feeling about that so far?
Yeah, we're putting UFC Japan to bed.
Yeah, over. I mean, we did fight of the night.
You have a conspiracy theory. No, this is my brilliant idea for the fight.
Wait, which fight?
Jessica Eyde, Paige VanZant. Oh, okay. Because PVZ's hurt.
Yep.
You know who I'd love to see take this fight on? At first I thought the Bullet, but then the Bullet fought too soon, fought for too big of a fight. I don't want to see her make that move yet. Take some time off, Valentina Shevchenko. Who I want to see take this fight? My girl Leslie Smith at 125.
Ooh, I don't know, she's tall.
She makes that weight. She used to fight in that weight in Invicta.
Yeah, but she's a tall and older. Ooh, she's...
I feel like she's been like a flyweight champ.
Ooh.
She has some water weight in the...
Yeah, she does. But that's because she also moved up to 45 when she was
It's
like,
a bit of a bias opinion, yeah. But I got Leslie Smith in that fight against Jessica Eye. All day.
I would all day.
And
even
I
on short
would be
notice.
Really expensive. You know how this works. You know she's one of the fan favorites, and that would make her everyone pick her because no one ever... Who is the peacemaker? We'd put her everywhere. And Leslie Smith would be our Leslie Smith underdog.
Does she have to be? Is it one of those rules where it's like... or does...
That would be weird. But who would be the underdog against Leslie Smith?
Jessica Eye.
I don't know. I think people would be blinded to it. They'd be like, look, if she lost to Cyborg. And we'd be like, Cyborg? And it was an early call. Everybody else is going to look back on that fight and say, look how short that fight lasted.
Right. True, true, true.
And anyways, that's bummer for PBZ iFight. I was kind of excited about it.
That was one because I was like, ooh, I'll actually pick PBZ in something against somebody else. And Jessica Eye is that type of a fighter. Hopefully she does get a replacement, though, if she's willing to take that. She might not be, because that is not this coming up weekend. We have a clear weekend non-fights for this weekend. And then 216 rolls around with Demetrius Johnson, co-main event with Ray Borg and Tony Berg, my boy Berg.
With Tony Ferguson, Kevin Lee.
Kevin Lee.
Oh, my gosh.
That's a fun one.
I've gone back and forth on this fight. Yeah. I can't even believe it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean,
I thought it was ride or die Tony Ferguson.
Kevin Lee's shown some good shit.
And let's talk about it a little bit.
Just a little taste.
A little taste. Don't you think Kevin Lee's fighters who he's fought are better than the fighters Ferguson's fought?
I feel like I could see that as of late, Kevin Lee's fought better fighters. I mean, Chiesa for me is such a top guy that's why I'm like really taking a look.
And my scariest
thing. Who else is Kevin Lee really finished
that? Pull up it.
Yeah, I'm going to have to.
Pull up the records.
Versus Tony. Tony ended up, he had a bunch of fights fall out on him as well, did he not?
I believe they both have, but it's when I actually went back and looked at it, Tony's so impressive to me. The scariest thing about Tony Ferguson to me in this is Chiesa hurt Tony Ferguson, and I know he gets hurt in a lot of his fights. Kevin Lee to me, or Venata, sorry, not Chiesa. Venata. Kevin Lee is more dangerous than Venata to me.
So I got
And the other thing that I thought was going to be the biggest thing for Tony Ferguson was going to be his reach advantage. A half an inch. Even though he's so much taller than Lee. I'm nervous. I thought it was going to be an easy decision to pick.
Right.
But Kevin Lee's got me nervous.
He's an athlete for sure. So Kevin Lee's record here, he started in the UFC with a unanimous decision loss to Ally Aquinta. Then he has a four-fight winning streak against people like unanimous decision over Michel Prezeris, which you guys know how we feel about him. Big underdog in that division. Submission wins also over Mutasri. Then he has a TKO loss over Leonardo Santos, where he was a huge favorite, minus 600. It was kind of a flash knockout, but that's where Lee starts to, for me, be a little chinny. He gets hurt in a lot of his fights because he leaves openings, because his athleticism gets him there a lot of the time with him not knowing what to do, but now he's starting to put it all together and not being as reckless. But after that loss, he's been on another five-fight winning streak, beating the likes of Efren Escudero, Jake Matthews, Makhachev Shlev, the Russian, Francisco Trinaldo, and as of late, Michael Chiesa.
Right? That's a bomb record.
That's a great record, and Matthews, that was a great finish. But the Trinaldo fight, what I gotta say is I had Lee in that, but what I didn't like about the Trinaldo fight is Lee took a hella damage. Lee was almost down on his feet at the end of that first round.
That's another reason I like him so much.
And Trinaldo hits hard.
I know.
One of the hardest hitters.
Probably harder than Ferguson.
Yeah. But Ferguson brings in the awkwardness with the submissions, but Lee says that he's like bringing that on because I love his reply. American wrestling, which is the truth. A good American wrestling will stop all that crazy shit because your fundamentals are fundamental.
And the other thing, I think, even though Ferguson is, you know, what, 4 or 5 inches taller, I think Kevin Lee is stronger. And I think when both guys know something, strength becomes the next thing. And, I can't believe how nervous I am. I'll have my final pick when we do that next week and go through it all. But
So, do we want to...
I don't even know if I just weighed myself back to Kevin Lee.
Do you want me to go through just
the UFC career? Yeah, let's go through
it. So, we had Tony Ferguson winning the Ultimate Fighter at the finale, 14. Then he came in and lost the decision to Michael Johnson. Then he's gone on a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. 11-fight winning streak. He's come up no losses, but in that, he's beat Mike Rio, Kushiaro Kumimoto, Danny Castillo, Abel Trujillo, Gleison Tibau.
His best one is Barboza, I think.
Josh Thompson, he and Edson Barboza submission as of late. Nope. And then there's also submission over Venata, which was, with these wins, when I, pretty much when he started fighting Gleison Tibau and on, he's gotten performances of the nights in these. So, in his wins, they've been very dramatic. The submission over Venata, which is a huge favorite.
Looking at his record right now, Santos. Does it make you a little more nervous about, think, like,
I think Dos Santos and Barboza and Josh Thompson, Gleison Tibau are higher caliber than... Then, now maybe not Tibau, then Lee's opponents as of late. Lee's opponents are also up and comers.
Barboza is number three all day. Barboza is his hardest match all day. I think that's the hardest fight Dos either Anos, fighter though, has
he
fight.
He fucking walked through Dos Anjos in his last fight.
That was an ugly Dos Anjos, and it was 155.
155, yeah.
That was different ugly Dos Anjos.
It's the truth. It's the truth.
That's what made me nervous. His fights are Dos Anjos, Venata, his last two. And those two fights aren't that impressive to me. I know he ended up choking out Venata, but I was scared as fuck
the
in that fight.
The thing that scares me with Ferg is that he gets in trouble by doing those flips at times. That if you wait for him to do one of those rolls, sit down on a hammer fist, and Kevin Lee has a type of power where he'll hit you with a short elbow and you'll be out. He's that type of explosive.
The other thing that makes me nervous that I don't think anyone talks about is... you said it on air and you were talking, quoting Valentina Shevchenko, is the samurai master that says, let's battle this day, and then you don't show up, and then let's battle this day, and you don't show up that day. And on the third day, I don't really think you're going to show up, and you whoop my ass. Something makes me nerve-wrack with a fighter who's been on hold as long as Tony Ferguson, training for Khabib Nurmagomedov, a little different than Kevin Ferguson, and I don't think there's as much tape on Kevin Ferguson. He does a little something different every time. He's young.
It's a variable.
I'm just nervous about it. More nervous than I thought I was when we talked about it originally on air. When we were like, oh, did you hear Ferguson Lee signed? Yeah, Ferguson all day, baby. Yeah, and then
it's a tough one. It really is a tough one.
A little more in there.
And how do you feel about Demetrius Johnson and Ray Borg being the co-main event when the interim belt for Ferguson Lee is being the main event?
Demetrius Johnson doesn't deserve that. Ray Borg doesn't deserve this shot. I'm over Ray Borg. I think they force him to fight at 135 if he wants to fight again. He's missed weight way more times than he's made it to the ring. So I'm not really excited about this fight. I don't think, you know... It sucks for Demetrius. He doesn't have a stacked division. It just sucks for him. But
with Ray Borg,
so
he was just...
when you take the two variables,
Demetrius,
co-main event, there's some other fights, personally, on this card that I would put at the co and move DJ down to the third just because Borg isn't enough dragging around that guy. He might not even make the fight now.
Harsh.
He might not even make the fight again. And the odds are that he doesn't make the fight.
He says it was an illness, not a weight cut.
Mm-hmm. The odds are that he doesn't make it again.
What's the line? What's the line? Give me some bottom money on that.
I would say 1-6. He doesn't make it right now. Look at his last fights. I think he's only fought one of the last 7 fights.
And maybe
7 times.
Missed weight the time he did.
He missed weight all the other times. Of the last 7 fights, or at least 7 scheduled fights, 6 of those he missed weight.
It has been a checkered fight career for Ray Borg at such a young career, but it's so promising when he can make weight. If he just moves up, he can just Lineker it as well and just be like, it doesn't matter if I'm smaller than you. There's a way for me to beat taller guys, and there is. it's not the easiest way, and it might not be the way
I
you
like
want
Ray
to.
Borg.
He's a little monster.
I love Ray Borg at 135.
Yeah, I agree.
He put on a little more muscle mass. He's still a young enough guy. Mm-hmm. The skill set's there. I like him, like him, like him. I like Ray
He's
Borg.
He's a little monster, but he ain't going to be no DJ.
He ain't going to be a DJ.
Yep,
the only question in that fight is, how do you see it go and finish? And you don't even have to tell me now, but that's really the only question in the fight.
Pretty much. So, anything other than the
that's
2-6
the sure
scene that we're going to get into?
Because 216's not happening this weekend, so we're not going to talk about the whole card.
Right. Yeah, exactly. No, we need to save something for
Did
next
you see
week.
Floyd Mayweather got new art on his wall?
No, I didn't.
He's standing in a doorway and a huge marble floor and a huge doorway that's like twice the size of him, like 10-foot high doorway. Uh-huh. And on both sides of this enormous doorway, one's a picture of him and the other's a picture of Conor McGregor. Big old paintings.
I did see that. That's a dope picture, but is... What house is it? Is it like his cottage getaway sister's
this
place?
This is what I think with it. He probably increased his net worth by a minimum of a quarter, upwards to double. In that fight, hell yeah, I'm going to put that on the wall. Yeah. Remind me every day what bought this house from her.
That was a mega fight out of nowhere. Out of fucking nowhere.
That was a summer treat.
We almost waited 50 minutes without talking about that fight.
I know.
Almost 52 minutes without talking about that
Floyd,
fight.
Floyd, I can't. I was an anti-Floyd person, and now I think Latby follows Floyd Mayweather.
Oh, damn. It worked.
They got me.
Got you.
He got me.
Got
him. He a family man.
He good.
He trying to change himself. Anything else going on in the world of MMA?
All I know is in other sports league, people are weighing in on a bunch of shit that I don't know if we even want to get into.
My fantasy football choked. We don't have to talk about it. We don't have to talk about last week. That was last week. This week's a new challenge, and I'm going against the guy in my football league this week. I'm 0-3. I haven't won once all season. But it's not because I'm bad at fantasy football. It's because I have 14 people in my league. I was first pick David Johnson. He got injured. Everybody knows. And I can't let him go off my roster. So I just have this. It's too much. Anyways, I'm going against the other guy in the league that's 0-3. So this is a game that matters for me. Anyways, yeah, we don't have to talk about that shit.
No, how to pick him. Rule of the story. Story of the rule.
DK was good with the UFC Japan. We're on all formats. The YouTube, the Twitter, and all that. We don't have to get into that yet. But I'm just excited again that we're clean streaming.
Right. So.
I don't know. That's it for the week.
I think you remember to follow us.
Yeah, follow us on Twitter at Lesbo and the Bean. For all things Lesbo and the Bean, lesboandthebean.com, iTunes, YouTube, what other?
Facebook,
Instagram. Latby, LATB.
Lesbo and the Bean!